Hallelujah, 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 you God, and mighty you, thank you God, my heart's desire you, strength and power you, are an awesome God, thank you God, you are my redeemer, you are a loving Savior, you. Oh, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. You, God. Hallelujah. Come on, just praise y'all right now. Hallelujah. Just praise and pray, all right? Just praise and pray, all right? Just praise and pray, all right, God? We're praising you this morning, God. We're giving you glory. We're giving you honor, God. It's about our prayers this morning to you, God. It's about our praise unto you, O God. For you are worthy, God. You are faithful, God. You are Jesus, our Savior, God. We give it up to you this morning, Father. All things and everything, God. In this place, God, everything that's coming forth, everything that's going out, is going out for the glory of God. And we give you the glory this morning. Work in us, God. Use us, God. Set us aside and set us down, God. Holy Spirit, rise up in this place. Thank you, God. We thank you, O God. We give a word this morning, O God, on your behalf, Father, and through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, people of God, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Prayer and praise this morning. Hallelujah. That thing called mercy. And that thing called grace, amen. Amen. Mercy and grace, amen. Amen. If there is such a people who experience the mercy and grace of God overwhelmingly at times, it's the people of Israel, amen. Amen. If there is such a people who have experienced, oh God, the mercy and grace of God over time, amen, even in the mix-ups, the mess-ups, the hiccups, amen, even through all of that, it is the people of the Most High God, amen. I count it joy to experience the mercy and grace of the Most High God. If there is such a people that have experienced the mercy and grace of God, you're standing in his presence even right now. You ought to count it joy to experience the mercy and the grace of the Most High God. Come on, give him a praise. Mercy and grace. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We're going to Jeremiah this morning. Prophet of God. Jeremiah. If it is any person who experienced the mercy and grace of the Most High God, Jeremiah experienced the mercy and grace of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord. We're going to begin reading in your hearing Jeremiah 33. Amen. Thank you, God. And our focus this morning will be on verses 1 through 3 and verses 4 through 11. Amen. Really, verses 1 through what? 11. Amen. Amen. The Word of God says, while he was still confined in the guard's courtyard, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. The Lord who made the earth, the Lord who forms it to establish it, Yahweh is his name, says this, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and incomprehensible things you do not know. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the houses of the city and the palaces of Judah's kings, the ones torn down for defense against the siege ramps and the sword. The people coming to fight the Chaldeans will fill the houses with the corpse of their own men that I strike down in my wrath and rage. I have hidden my face from this city because of all their evil. Yet, mercy and grace, I will certainly bring healing and a healthy land to it and will indeed heal them. I will let them experience the abundance of peace and truth. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and of Israel and will rebuild them as in former times. I, God, the Lord, will purify them from all the wrongs they have committed against me, God says, and I will forgive all the wrongs they have committed against me by rebelling against me. This city will bear on my behalf a name of joy, come on, God, of praise, come on, God, and glory before all the nations of the earth who will hear of all the good I, God, the Lord, will do for them. They will tremble with awe because of all the good and all the peace I will bring about for them. Verse 10 says, this is what the Lord says. In this place, which you say is a ruin, without man or beast, that is, in Judah's cities and Jerusalem's streets, there are a desolation without man, without inhabitant, and without beast. There will be heard again, the 11th verse says, a sound of joy and gladness, the voice of the groom and the bride, and the voice of those saying, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is what? Good. His faithful love endures how long? Forever. As they bring thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. For God says, for I will restore the fortunes of the land as in former times. Thus says who? The Lord. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I hope you listen to that portion of history. Amen. Amen. A lot of us say Bible stories. This is history. Amen. Amen. The stories in the, this is history. Amen. This is what thus says the Lord. Mercy and what?
Grace.
Somebody say mercy and what?
Grace.
Now, if you couldn't hear mercy and grace already on the people of Israel, Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. God has mercy on us even when we do him wrong. Amen. Mm. God has mercy on us even when we don't deserve it. And he issues that thing called grace. You see, they work together. He issues grace because of who he is, not because of us. Amen. He issues grace because of what he can do, what he has done, what he will do, and not because of anything that we have done. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. We're going to look at Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3, just a little close. Amen. Let's talk about the scripture for just a moment. We're going to do an observation. Amen. Amen. Scholars of the word, scholars of inductive study, we do observation, what? Interpretation, and then what? Application. Amen. Look at what the word is telling us. Amen. Allow God, pray for God to interpret. But let me tell you, whatever it says is what he's talking about. And then how to apply it. While he was still confined, it says confined, jailed. Amen. When you confined, you can't move. When you can't confined, you see, you can't go here and to where you want to. When you're confined, you're bound. Somebody say bound.
Bound.
When you're bound, you're incarcerated. When you're incarcerated, you have chains. Amen. Somebody say chains.
Chains.
When chains are on you, they hold you what? Down. They don't allow you to move to and fro like you want to. Amen. Jeremiah was confined. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And if you look back at the chapter before, it'll tell you he was confined in the courtyards of the guards. Amen? Now, perhaps they had him in his prison cell, but at this time, it says, he was confined in the guards' courtyard. Amen? And it says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a what?
Second time.
A what?
Second time.
Second time. So if it came the second time, what does that mean? It had to have come a what? First time. It means it had to have come what? Before. But it came to him the second time. Watch this. This could mean it came to him the second time, period. But you got to go back and study and find out it came the second time while he was confined in the courtyards of the guards. Amen? So when it came, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Y'all know how y'all hear pastors and preach sometimes say, the Lord said to me. And you people looking like, the Lord said to you, amen? So we're going to start saying, the word of the Lord, what? Came to me, amen? Because it's what God places in your spirit, amen? So the word of the Lord comes with purpose, amen? It comes, amen? It comes with purpose. The word of the Lord just doesn't come to settle in the person that it comes to. The word of the Lord comes so it can what? Go out, amen? So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. And Jeremiah began to prophesy. That's why he was locked up anyway. I want you to know that. You can't shut God's word down. You can be confined, but you don't have to stop. Come on, Jesus. Even within the prison cell, you can still have the word of the Lord come to you, and then you what? Release that word. Amen? The Lord said, Jeremiah, when it came the second time, the Lord who made the earth. Who? Who are we talking about here? The Lord. Yahweh. Who else are we talking about here? Who else are we talking about here? Come on. Who else is involved here? Come on, people. Jeremiah. Come on. See, when you're in the word, you need to think about who is what's going on here. Amen. This is history. If I told y'all to study the history of George Washington, you would study who he was. You would study who his wife was. You would study what number president he was. So when you were talking about, then you would also be studying about some people that affected, you see, his reign as president and even his very life. So who, what is this history telling us? We're talking about the Lord Yahweh, Jeremiah, even the guards, because it was their what? Courtyard. Who? Israel. Don't forget Israel, because the word of the Lord came for the people of what? Israel. Came to Jeremiah, and the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who forms it. What else? What did the Lord do? The Lord formed the earth. What has he done or doing here? He formed the earth. He made the earth, but he formed it for a purpose. I told you it's a purpose. He formed it to do what? Establish it, to set it up, to make sure that it stayed, amen? Come on, God, until his appointed time. See, when you invent or create something, sometimes you invent that some things are invented just for a time. Well, I'm going to turn that and say all things are invented for just a time, amen? Because as we've evolved in this country, we see inventions hitherto, amen? They may change. The telephone that was invented certainly doesn't look like the telephones we carry now. We don't even call them telephones anymore. Children probably say, what is a telephone, a cell phone? Amen? So the things that are, when things are created, invented, they evolve. Things change about them. God established the earth, amen? When God established the earth, God knew that there would come some change because his creations changed. God created man in his image, amen? But some change came about because we don't always represent his image. Come on, God, mercy and grace. Come on, God. Come on, come on, come on, come on. So what has God done? He made the earth. He formed the earth, amen? But what else has God done here? God is speaking. God is saying something. So when we look at this, what I want to, y'all keep that thought. God is speaking. God is saying something. Keep that thought. Amen. Who, what, when? While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guards. Amen. Where? In the courtyards of the what? The guard. Amen. Where? The city, the houses of Israel, the palaces, oh my God, of the kings of Judah. Amen. Amen? Where? Why? Why did God form the earth? To establish it. Remember, he formed the earth to establish the earth. Guess what? He created you to establish you. Amen? God didn't create us just because. God didn't create. He created with purpose. Amen? He created us to establish our praise and our worship in us, for him, amen, and through him. He made us to establish us, to set us up, to cause us to be strong, to be steadfast, amen? He formed us and created us, amen, so that when we stand, having done all, we still what? Stand. That's how he establishes us. He establishes us on jobs and in our communities, amen? Let me apply it right now. He establishes us, amen, so that when he establishes our families, he establishes our families so that they can what? Grow. Anything that God establishes will what? Grow. Amen? If we could just take a quick glimpse at the seeds of the soil, amen? Some of those seeds, you see, when God begins to establish a thing in you, listen to the Holy Spirit. But the word says, y'all gonna get a lot of scripture right now, faith without works is what? Dead. So when he establishes that thing in you that he wants you to push out, you see, that he wants to come up out of you, when he establishes that thing in your thoughts, your faith begins to trigger. But what happens is, if you don't take a hold of that very thing, seed he's planting, he's dropping, it's going to fall on stony ground. Nothing can grow on stony ground. See, you need it to fall on good soil, good ground. How are you going to have the good ground prepared? Do you understand that even when the farmer farms, he has to prepare the ground before he puts the seed down? Lord God. He has to prepare the ground. So if you have not allowed your ground to be prepared, if you have not worked on preparing your ground, when God plants that seed to establish that thing, you're going to mess around and you're going to lose it. Come on, Jesus. Are y'all with me? Do y'all understand where I am? Oh, Jesus. For this purpose that God formed the earth, he established the earth, there was a purpose for his action. There has to be a purpose for every action we take. We've got to learn to become intentional in the things we do, not just fly by night. We've got to be intentional. When we're intentional, we'll be like God in his image, because the intent has to be that this thing that he has given me, my intention is that it will go here, not stay here or fall here. But my intention has to be such that I begin to prepare like that ground. I begin, this ground has to be fertile, amen? This ground has to be watered, amen? Every now and then I got to revisit the plant. Go back and look at it and see how it's what doing. I have to evaluate whether I'm doing this right or not. I have a window full of plants in my kitchen. I have this one plant. I don't know if my children noticed it. Mama and I were out somewhere and they had a plant sale. We were riding through the neighborhood. So we stopped and I got this one plant. And all my babies at the house are just doing, they're just doing so good and they're just growing. They got names. I got Aunt Janie and I got Jack and the Beanstalk and it's almost to the ceiling and this, that, and other. And I've got my praying plant. So I brought this little thing home and it attracted my attention because it was the same color as my prayer plant. And I said, almost a dark purplish color. I took this baby home. The ground is not good. The soil is not working. I repotted it. I watered it. All the stuff done fell off in the window. It looked like a little scraggly pole left behind, homeless. It don't even look like anybody cares about it. Well, I happened to look at it yesterday, and in the midst of that raggedy mess that's falling off the little branches, I see one new sprout at the top. I said, look at God. So this is to tell you, when that thing that God has placed in you, when you birth it and you begin to nurture it and you begin to grow it, sometimes things are going to seem like they're moving. But you just stay steadfast, having done all to what? Stand. You stand. Because eventually, you see, God doesn't always move when we want God to move, or we think God should move, but if we stand fast, we will see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? It's coming. Tell somebody it's coming. If you stay, you continue to prune, dig, clean out the dirty roots, amen? Sometimes some stuff got to come out in order for other things to grow. Amen? All plants, we here right now, amen? Amen? Sometimes our plants get stifled. They don't move, amen? Or they like my Aunt Janie. And it's named after my aunt that sent it to me probably 8 years ago. It's a peace lily. I moved her around. She started in the kitchen. I moved her to the dining room because I liked the way she looked in there. She didn't like it in there. She started falling off down. I said, oh, what's wrong with my baby? I put her back in the kitchen. After a while, my collection grew. So Aunt Janie, you got to move. You're too big. I put her in the family room. She didn't like it in there. She started falling off, dying. I said, oh, my gosh. She got so withered, I said, this thing is not coming back. I put her back in the kitchen. So sometimes we have to make sure we get back to where we were rooted. We have to go back to where the conception was made. We have to go back to where he first dropped that thing in our spirit. And we have to look back and say, God, this was good. Why did I go this way when you were still right there all the time? Well, she's back in the kitchen and she's flourishing. Yeah, yeah. She's flourishing so till I looked into the pot, and it's a big, pretty big pot. There's a root about this thick around, probably about a half inch to an inch, the root. And it's sitting on top of the soil, but out of that, more plants are coming up. And I called the expert one day. I said, Mama, come and look at this plant. I said, do I put some more soil on top of this big root? So she had to come and look. She said, yeah. She said, but be careful with that root, because that root is sensitive. That's him, y'all. Who we? I'm getting blessed right here, right now. That root is sensitive. So be careful, because you don't want to miss and break the root. That's good. That's real good. Glory to God. You don't want to break the root. You want to damage the root, you see. So whatever God has placed in you, he has established in you. Come on, God, with this mercy and grace. Grace and mercy, whatever you want this to be this morning. But whatever God has placed in you are established for you, because he establishes some things for us. He sets them up, amen? Whatever he has done that in you, in your ministry, in your home, amen, on your job, what you need to do is make sure that you understand what he said. You understand that thing that he formed. As he begins to establish it, you can establish it. As he begins to establish it, you just got to hold on, because sometimes it's not going to seem like it's going anywhere, like my little poor baby plant. But then sometimes it's going to be so strong, you're going to be able to see the roots. Amen. So you're going to be able to see the progress that God has allowed you to make. Amen? This took a totally different turn this morning, God. Thank you. Amen. Somebody say amen. Ooh, let me try to recover. Jesus. So why he established the earth? When he formed it to establish it. He brought you here to establish you. You are somebody. You can be who you want to be. Doesn't matter what things you don't have from this earth. There are some tools we miss sometimes from this earth, but God will give us the tools we need. He will set us in that thing. Here we go. Oh, God. Mercy. Come on, God. Grace and favor. That's it. He will set us in a place where sometimes that mercy has to come through somebody we didn't even like. Y'all better be real this morning. He will set us in a place sometimes where that grace and favor, watch this, comes through folks who don't even like us. Ooh, we, Jesus. Let me tell you, you have to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Israel, you see, did God all kinds of way. God done brought y'all out all kind of stuff. Come on. I'm talking to you, Israel, out here this morning. God done brought us through a lot of mess in our lives. God has kept us through some things we shouldn't even come out of. There are some things we shouldn't even been allowed to tell, and there are some things we probably won't ever tell. Lord Jesus. Oh, God. But God has brought us to this place for a reason. His mercy and his grace are not to be taken for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't keep trying, God, until he got to lay you out. And when he lay you out all the time, he don't kill you. Witness. Sometimes he lays you out, and he makes you suffer and struggle and stay. You stay right there until I tell you to get up. That's how your mamas do you. That's how you don't you move. Sometimes God got to say, I see you. We just went through this. We're not going through this. The same way we taught out, we're not going through this again, Josie. We've been here. Why you doing it? Come on. Y'all be real. Trying to make y'all really understand this thing this morning. But that thing of grace and mercy and favor. See, favor is encompassed. Grace and mercy encompass favor all the way around. Oh, my God. Come on, God. Come on. Come on. We talked about the who, what, when, where, why, and the how. How? How is God bringing this message? He is speaking. God is speaking. It says, or the word that presents itself is speaking. Let's read that verse again. While he was still confined in the guard's courtyard, what did it say? What did it say? The word of the Lord came. How'd it come? Why'd it come? See, it came with purpose. But the word of the Lord came. You need, oh God, let me finish this. Let me see what version. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was still confined in the court of the guard. While he was still confined in the guard's courtyard, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. The word came. I can't get past that. The word came. How many times? Watch this. If the word of the Lord, God is speaking, or the word is presenting itself, God even is speaking here in a third person. Did y'all catch that? God is speaking in a third person. Amen? It says the word of the Lord came. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, glory, glory. The Lord who made the earth. This is the word came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and the Lord said, the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who forms it to establish it, Yahweh is his name. The word is speaking as a third person, not associated with that person, but the association is there. He says this, call to who? Me. Me, who is me? Who y'all calling to? Call to me, God, the Lord. And I, who? The Lord. Will what? Answer who? You, Israel. You, us. Amen? Thank you, Lord. See, this word was at that time specifically for Israel. This word at this time is for the children of God. How many of y'all count yourselves as recipients of grace and mercy? Then you ought to be knowing that you are a child of the Most High God. I will answer who? You. Watch this. And then I'm going to tell you, not your mother, not your father, not your friends, not the chat line, not the, I don't hear a whole lot about them anymore, the people that read your fortune. Fortune tellers, I can't even think of what they call. Psychics, y'all know that thing was a big thing in this country one time. Y'all talking about telemarketer calls? See, this might be a little old for some of y'all. Oh, my God, the psychic calls. Oh, God, they want you to call Psychic Sue, Psychic Bob. Oh, they were all over the airways. Every other commercial came on. They were set up on every corner like we got churches. But he says, I will tell you what? Great and incomprehensible things. Somebody say incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. Elder got a different version, but I want y'all to hear the word incomprehensible. I will tell you great and incomprehensible. What does that mean? Things that you do not know and you do not understand. He said, I'm going to tell you some things that you don't know. He said, I'm going to tell you some things you understand. You trying to figure out, God, why me? You don't have to know. You don't have to understand. He didn't say I'm going to make you understand either. He says, I'm going to tell you some great and incomprehensible things that you don't know. Things that you don't even understand. Did he say what things? So you got to learn how to listen to the voice of the Lord. You can't listen If I'm listening to you, we're in a what? If I'm, y'all, this is the school teacher, I'm sorry. If I'm listening to you and you listening to me, we're in a what? We're in a conversation. He says, I'm going to tell you some things that you don't know. So if he's telling you some things, that means you need to be what? Listening. If somebody's telling you something, don't try to overtalk them. Some of us talking so hard sometimes to God, we don't even hear what he's saying. You done told me this, baby. You told me this already. I'm talking about myself. You told me this. You told me this just yesterday now. You told me yesterday. And I keep telling God, you told me yesterday. I got it. But I'm going to tell you some things that you don't even understand. You don't understand. Too many times we take God's mercy and grace for granted. That, Lord Jesus, brother or sister that was selling that weed on the corner kept selling it until they sold it to an undercover cop. Too many times, see, when they were selling it and get away with it, y'all, that was called grace and what? I really want y'all to understand grace and mercy this morning. That brother or sister, see, I try not to put a stigma, we can't anymore, put a stigma on your sex or your whether you're male or female, because it seems like now everybody's doing everything. That boy or girl that went into that store and successfully stole some candy, took a pickle, put a bag of chips in their bag, and got away with it. And he kept doing it. After a while, that store owner caught him right on the back of that collar. Come on back in here. Grace and mercy ran out. See, we keep doing things until God has to let people catch us. See, oh God, when we're doing some things we don't want the world to know about, we don't want mom and daddy to know, and God is covering us. We don't even realize that. Why is he covering us? Because he already sees it. And he's looking at me saying, I see you. And I'm steady saying, mama don't see me. Daddy don't see me. True story. I was in Pittsburgh last week in the CVS drugstore. Purchased a couple items. The receipt didn't print. The young lady said, I can go and print you a receipt. She said, do you have? I said, I would like to have one because I may have to return this when I get home, return one of them. When I walked in, there was already a spirit of aggravation in there. You loud. I didn't see you, but you just loud talking through and in and out, in and out. So the young lady goes to print the receipt. You come from around the corner. Hey, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you? Where she went? Let me tell you how the devil used y'all here. Where she went, not y'all. She went to print a receipt, and I'm steady watching you, and I'm praying. I'm telling y'all, you got to be able to tune into your spirit of discernment. I'm already praying, because I know your spirit up to no good. See, the word of God says we know a spirit by the what? Spirit. It's not a judgmental thing, but it's recognizing. And you still talking, and you talking fast. I done seen your kind before, you see. See, what your spirit didn't recognize was that my spirit already worked in stores before, so I already recognize that spirit of thievery and slickness. I already recognize it when it comes. Oh, I got to get my girlfriend some more of this stuff over here. You got a bag in your hand, and you steady putting stuff in it. And God said to me, hush. Y'all know he had to tell me to hush, didn't he? We the only people in the store now, the girl gone. But on the corner right outside the door is a what, elder? A cop, because he and mama dropped me off and drove around. The cop on the corner directing the bicycle traffic because they had a marathon. But you so brazen, devil, you see that cop just like I do through them glass, and you still try God. You still putting it in your pocket. You still doing what you do. Or tell her, when you got what you wanted, tell her, I'll call her later. I don't even know if you know that lady. I just looked, and I prayed for you. You walked out that door, and yes, you walked past that cop successfully. But I promise you, That grace and mercy, if it hadn't already ran out today, it's going to run out. You're going to get caught. You may have already been bound and caught, but you tried again. Grace and mercy. I needed to share that. My young people, don't try God. Don't keep doing what you're doing, knowing you shouldn't be what? Doing it. Israel tried God, but God is such a God of grace and mercy, and we almost there. I got to go back into the 4 through 11 verses for a quick minute. Now, let me tell you what to pull up. It says, for as what this, or just listen, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the houses of the city and the palaces of Judah. He says, the ones torn down, listen at what happened to them, y'all, torn down for a defense against the siege ramps and the swords. The people coming to fight the Chaldeans will fill the houses with the corpse of their own men. But he says, he didn't say somebody else, he says that I will strike down. God says, I have to slay you sometimes in my anger. God is a God of grace and mercy. He loves us unconditionally, but at some point God gets tired of our foolishness. He gets tired. He said he made us in his image. I get tired. He said he made us in his image. He cries just like we cry. He weeps over his children just like we weep over our children. And then at some point, when our children have done enough to get on our last nerve, we snatch them up and we tear them up. God had to tear them up, he says. He says, I'm angry now because I've done all this for you. But after I tear your hips up, done tore that backside out the place. Guess what he says? He says in that sixth verse, oh, hold on. He says, I've hidden my face from you because of your evil. When our children do wrong sometimes, we have to cut them off. Now I'm going to tell y'all, that one can tell you, if you messed up and you did wrong, I mess around and don't talk to you for days. See, sometimes God got to shut us up and shut us down. Put them in a place, I'm telling you, it's not going to kill them. They're not going to die. Put them in a place where they understand you did wrong. Daddy needs you to know you did wrong. Mama needs to impact you. Even if I don't tear you up with this right here, I got to tear you up somehow. Because the word of God declares and decrees, if we spare the rod, we spoil a child. That doesn't mean a whooping rod all the time, but we got to whoop them some kind of way. When Jolie messed up and got on my nerves real good, she would tell you, I stopped talking to her. All she got out of me was a good morning, go to school. When I come home, she come, good afternoon. She go in her room, I go in mine. It killed her because she wanted somebody to talk to. She understood how she made me feel. See, sometimes we need to understand how we make God feel. How do you make me feel when you're doing these ugly things that I don't like? How do our children make us feel when they're doing things we don't like? So we have to put them at bay sometimes and say, all right. But every single time, you know how to get back in my graces. We got to know how to get back in God's graces. You wrote letters. I got some right now. Mama, I'm sorry. You got to apologize to God just like she had to apologize to me. But I had to feel that you were being real about that thing. Don't just, I'm sorry, this moment and then the next week. It don't work like that. The next you write back, it doesn't work like that. Children of Israel, he says, because of your evil, I had to hide my face from you. But then that God of mercy and grace, parents, yet I will certainly bring health and healing back to you and will indeed heal you. I'll let you experience the abundance of, see, that's God. When we done got our children straight, what we do? Go right back to loving them. We didn't ever stop loving them, but we go back to showing them the love. Because you can't break them down so much until they're no good. See, you got to put them in their place, but then they got to understand in that place. See, in that place that you put them in, they need to be able to have some thinking time, some reflection time. Why am I in here? Why am I in timeout? Why? Oh, I did something. So if I'm thinking about I did something, oh, I don't want to be in here again, then I'm not going to do that thing, what, again. He says, I will purify you from all your wrongs that you committed against me.
Yeah.
They will tremble, I'm skipping down, with all what we have. This city will bear on my behalf. What did we preach in here on Friends and Family Sunday? Oh, somebody got $5. The family name must be honored. Oh, yeah. But this says, the city will bear on my behalf a name of joy, praise, glory before all the nations. That's the kind of God we serve. Guess why? And it goes right back to the beginning. You know why? Because when he formed the earth, when he formed us, his plan was to what? Establish us. Though the earth may have teeter-tottered a little bit, his plan is still to what? Establish the earth. Though we fall off a little bit, his plan is still to what? Establish us. Though we walk off on him, turn our backs on him, his plan is still to what? Establish us. So when he establishes us, we can see the salvation of the Lord. When he establishes us, guess what? Then he knows that he's got our soul, and he's got our soul in his best interest. When he establishes us, then he understands that the devil can no longer touch us. When he establishes us, we may go through some things, but it won't be so hard to get through the things. When he establishes us, he makes us kings and queens, and he causes us to feel like the princes and princesses that we are. We don't have to depend on a man. We don't have to depend on a woman. We don't have to depend on the crack. We don't have to depend, thank you, God, on the alcohol and drugs. We don't have to depend on the friendships that aren't healthy. We can depend on him. And you know why we can depend on him? When he's established us and our soul is safe and anchored in the Lord, because all we've done wrong, all we might slip and do, not intentional, all of that, we still have that thing called grace and what? Mercy. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. We give you glory this morning, Lord. We honor you where you should be honored. We glorify you with our innermost being, God. We thank you for your many blessings. We ask, oh, Father, that you touch the people of God. Oh, God, those who are in our presence. Oh, Father, those who are traveling right now, God. Those, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, who may get this word over the airways, oh, God. We ask that you bless and anoint their very minds, hearts, and spirits. And even at that time that they receive this word, that they understand that it's just another moment of grace and mercy, oh God. Continue to pour your favor out on us, Father. We give you glory today. We give you honor today. We give you praise. People of God, say amen,
amen.
And amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Come on, minister to you. Come on, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen, Ramo. We're going to prepare ourselves to get ready to give. Hallelujah. We know at Ramo we give as a family, believing God that he will make the storehouse plenty. Amen. Amen. Even when things look like they're happening all around us, hallelujah, he still allow us to reach in the storehouse and put food on the table, keep the lights on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He allows us to walk in favor where people will begin to bless us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's the mindset that we give today. Good measures pressed down, shaking together and running over. And the Bible says, well, men give unto you with that same measure that you've given unto God.